All right, who's ready to lean in? Yes, 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 yes. I've got a specific goal in mind for you today, and that is for you to commit. For you to commit to the 40-day digital reset, because it will transform your life. So you heard the details. We're going to be doing this together as a church. It's an opportunity for us to reevaluate our relationship with our technology. It's an opportunity for us to fast, right? To give up something physically, but to gain something spiritually. You know, I try before I speak on a weekend to just ask God, God, what do you think? What's on your mind about the people that I get to speak to? And oftentimes God will give me pictures or he'll give me words. And I feel like the thing that God gave me coming into today is this. There are world-changing callings on the lives of people here right now. I don't know if you believe that about yourself, but I believe that about you. I believe that there are people in here who are called to set a new trajectory by building a healthy family even though you've never experienced one. I believe there are people in here who have creative entrepreneurial ideas, and God is going to give you not just world-changing ideas, but industry-shifting ideas for a business. I believe there are people in here right now that God is going to use in incredible ways through your artistic gifts to create lasting art that helps people not just in this generation, but in future generations connect to the living God. I believe there are world-changing callings on your lives in here. And God just was giving me that as a picture and an image because here's the deal. If we're going to experience that, we've got to find a way to shift our lives from distraction into destiny. And that's what I believe is an opportunity that this digital fast offers for us. So let's pray that that would happen for all of us. God, I ask that you would speak, that you would move, that you would motivate, that you would encourage, that you would guide, that you would comfort, that you would challenge, that you would do whatever is needed for us to say yes to what it is you're calling us to. God, I believe there is something in this for me, and I'm eager to receive it. And I believe that is true for every person who is listening, whether they're in their house right now, whether they're in a building right now. There is something for all of us in this. Help us to see it. Help us to receive it, God. Help us to step into it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I don't know everybody in here personally, but I'm going to take a wild guess that no one listening right now wants to be a conformer. Anybody want to be a conformer in here, right? I mean, we're just like naturally don't want to be a conformer, but here's the challenge or the problem we face. We are. We are conformers. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, right now in your life, are you conforming or are you transforming? Because you're doing one or the other. We have more and more of our brothers and sisters that come to Crossroads who speak Espanol. And so in Espanol, the question would be this. ¿Estás conformándote o transformándote? Because we're doing one or the other. Uno o el otro. Paul writes these words in Romans, and he says, I appeal to you. I am putting on my encourager hat today. I want to encourage you. I want to make an appeal to you. I want to make an appeal to you based on the mercies of God. God is for you. We talked about that last week. And I want to make an appeal to you that requires you not just to think differently, but to act differently. Paul says we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means this is a full contact appeal. Are you conforming? Or are you transforming? The invitation is to transform. So in the first 2 weeks, if you weren't here, I think we did a really good job making a case that we need to reevaluate our relationship with our devices. There's data behind that. There's science behind that. There's stories behind that. If you missed the first 2 weeks, I encourage you to go and listen to that. But I think we made that case pretty clearly. I do want to say one thing. Technology is neutral. Technology is neither bad nor good, and there's a lot of good that's come from technology, but how we use technology is either conforming us or it can be a part of how we are transformed. And what I want to do today is not make a case that you should spend less time on your phone. Instead, I want to make a case for being transformed. I want to invite you into transformation. Romans 12 is Paul's appeal to followers of Jesus in first century Rome. And let me give you some context for first century Rome so you can understand how countercultural and how high challenge these words actually were. Rome ruled the world in the first century. The Roman Empire was the most dominant force on the planet in that time. And they worshiped many gods. Like, part of their culture was they worshiped trees, they worshiped buildings, they worshiped different gods, they worshiped rivers, they worshiped even their emperor. So in that time, everybody in Rome who was loyal to the empire would say, Caesar is Lord. And what they meant when they said that was that the man who sat on the throne, Caesar, was divine. They didn't think he was just a man. They would say he was a god, and they worshiped him like a god. And so Roman culture was unique in a lot of ways. Roman culture was a mix of sophistication and at the same time brutality. I mean, there are things like the Roman aqueducts and the Roman road system and all kinds of things that they made, kind of artistic and architectural things that were just innovative for the time. So there's a lot of sophistication in the Roman Empire. And yet, this is the same empire that had in the arena gladiators and people who they were feeding to lions while other people cheered on and entertained and were entertained by that. So it was this crazy mix of vulgarity. It was also a very sexually explicit culture, and the people were addicted to entertainment. In fact, the Caesar said the reason that they did the gladiatorial games was because they wanted to give the people bread and circus. Because if we can get them so distracted by these entertaining things, they won't be concerned about the ways that we're dominating them in every other area of their life. So in Rome, it was countercultural to be a Christian. Check this out. In Rome, Christians were called atheists because Christians didn't worship all of the other gods and the rivers and the buildings and Caesar as Lord. They had the courage to say that Jesus is Lord, and they were seen as atheists because of that. To be a Christian in Rome was at best to be a social outcast, and at worst, and this was true for thousands of Christians in the Roman Empire, it was to be seen as an enemy of the state and killed for your faith. So suffice to say, in that environment, there's a lot of pressure to conform. Like, knife to your throat, pressure to conform. Like, do I want to be fed to lions tomorrow, pressure to conform. Let alone all the social challenges of being an outcast to conform. High pressure to conform. And here's what I would say. I think it's similar for us today as people who want to go the way of Jesus. Now you might be like, wait a second. I'm not going to leave here, hopefully, and be violently assaulted because of my faith. Thank God that's likely not to happen. That's likely not going to happen in our lifetime. And yet, to be clear, the way of Jesus, the way that Jesus calls us to as followers of his, is completely countercultural to the typical American culture. It is not the culture of America to go the way of Jesus. It isn't. It isn't. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We can say we are Christians with our words, but our choices and our actions tell the truth. And the question is, are you conforming or are you transforming? Paul's appeal is very clear. Do not be conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed? It means to be squeezed into the mold of the culture. To be squeezed into the mold of the culture. And what is the pattern of this world? It's any value set, any system that is inconsistent with the way of Jesus. And it is true for us in our culture. Let me give you a couple patterns of the world that are easy to be conformed to. One of them is materialism. Materialism is a pattern of the world. Because Jesus says in Matthew 6:25, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And yet it's very easy to be so materialistic in our culture. Here's another one. Hyper-individualism is a pattern of this world. It is not the culture of the kingdom to have this hyper-individualistic view. In fact, there are whole parts of the Bible that don't make sense because they're not written to individuals. They only make sense in community. There's this whole idea of one anothering. You can't even do most of the commands in the Bible outside of community. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Hedonism, the worship of pleasure, the addiction to entertainment is a pattern of this world. Look at what it says in Galatians 5:17. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the capital S spirit." They're against the spirit of God. "And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other." And yet, let's just be honest, there is tremendous pressure to be squeezed into these molds. How do I know? Because I'm conformed. I know because there are areas where I'm conforming and not transforming. Let me just give you a couple that I know are temptations for me. Every time I hear the word immigration right now, I am being conformed to whatever the news outlet is that I'm listening to and that bias or point of view and perspective. It's not the full perspective, but if that's what I'm listening to, it's conforming my view on how to think about that, not how the Bible tells me to think about that. I am being conformed. I know it. I know it. How about this one? I watch a lot of sports. I love sports, which means I watch a lot of sports commercials. And sports commercials, let's be clear, many of them, the majority of them, want to give me a view of manhood that is not consistent with the way of Jesus. They certainly want to give me a view of how I view women that is not consistent with the way of Jesus. And they want to give me a view of this thing called the good life that in many ways is not consistent with the way of Jesus. But do you know how many thousands of commercials I've seen in my life? Do you think they're not having some effect? Am I somehow immune to all of that influence? Here's another one, very, very serious. I walk into REI, y'all, just to browse. But then soon realize that my whole survival hinges on me buying a $300 ultralight titanium spork. I don't even camp that much, but I need it. I mean, what happens if I get lost in my suburban neighborhood and I have to ration out my takeout? Better safe than sorry, y'all, I'm getting the spork. I mean, yeah, we're all conformed in some way. And that's all I'm saying is we are all conformed. But Paul and I am appealing to you, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When I was a kid, I loved Transformers. I loved Transformers. My favorite Transformer was always Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime. Loved Optimus Prime. Loved the little sound they make, you know, when they would like transform. Like, I love Transformers. And I believe, actually, God wants you and I to be Transformers. God wants you to be a transformed person. He wants you to be a transformed human. He wants you to be a transformed family member. He wants you to be a transformed friend. God wants you to be a transformer. So for the rest of the time, I want to encourage you to be a transformer. I want to tell you three traits of transformers that will be true of you if you allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the first one is this. Conformers settle, but transformers soar. Conformers settle, but transformers soar. I want to take you to nature on this one. There is a difference between the behavior of an eagle and a pigeon. I grew up in Philadelphia. You grew up in a big city, there are pigeons all over the place. And God created everything, and everything he created is good. But I would be fine if God created a few less pigeons. Because what do pigeons do? They just strut around and poop on things. And, you know, if there's food coming for a pigeon, they like hurry up and try to get to the food, right? And they just stick around other pigeons and they never really kind of leave the ground, right? They're just kind of annoying, right? They're just like pigeons, right? But here's the thing. Pigeons are not what you and I are called to be. We're called to fly higher like eagles. I hang out with some guys and one of the things that we have as a phrase regularly is we talk about, hey man, let's fly higher. You know what eagles do? When they get around pigeons, they fly higher. They fly, or they eat them, but they fly higher. They fly higher, right? Eagles have the ability to soar beyond. They have the ability to have a different and distant long-term perspective. Eagles have the ability to let the wind take them higher. You, my friend, are called to be an eagle, not a pigeon. I love what Dave Ramsey says about this. He's talking about money. But it's true about any area in your life where you're willing to be transformed. He says this. He says, live like no one else. So later on, you can live like no one else. I love that.
I love that. Live like no one else. Do the weird thing now. Do the thing that not many people are doing now. So later on, you can live the life that no one's living now. You can have the influence that people can't have now. You can have the joy that people can't have now. Conformers settle, but transformers soar. Second thing is this. Conformers choose easy change, while transformers choose lasting change. See, the data is very clear that if you want to experience deep pleasure, deep satisfaction, a fulfilled life, it does not come from quick dopamine hits. That the deepest, most fulfilled life happens when you do what I would call and what a pastor called a long obedience in the same direction. So when you're willing to walk in something faithfully over a period of time, you experience the greatest rewards. In fact, when you settle for the quick hit, the dopamine comes in, but then it drops and you actually feel less full than when you started. Now, I know that because I've made that mistake over and over again. One of the things that I am teaching my kids is how do you train your kids in delayed gratification? Because here's the thing. Delayed gratification is the difference maker between them and their peers. So what am I training my kids to be delayed in their gratification of now? Because I know over time it's going to produce great results. That's why I care about how they approach school. That's why I care about how they approach everything in life. Because I want my kids to be building skills now that are going to make them great over the long haul, right? And this is the opportunity we have if we're willing to step into that. Now, here's the thing. There are times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your life, where you take the short-term fix, where you go for the quick change, right? I'm not alone in that. I'm not the only weird person who's like not been perfect at this. Thank you. Okay. All right. Just make sure. And whenever I do that, it leads to regrettable decisions. Regrettable. Let me give you a simple one, a stupid one, but it happens every time. I travel fairly often. And when I am at an airport, I am assessing the speed and pace of the various TSA lines. Am I the only, anybody with me on that? And why is it that I always wind up choosing the slow line? But I'm smart enough to know that what I need to do is make a quick change to the other line. But why is it that when I get in that line, now that's the slow line, right? Regrettable decision, because I'm trying to make a quick decision and it never works. Here's one that my wife has been trying to help me with for years and I'm starting to figure it out. I would say I am good with money. I would say I am a good steward of our finances. My wife might say I'm cheap. That's what she might say. And she might be right. Now here's this, I love to cook. And my wife has told me for years, Chuck, the quality of the ingredients you put into the meal determine the quality of the output of the meal. But when something is $4 for $5 at Kroger, I mean, is it really that different? Is it really? Well, turns out in some cases it is. Some cases I've done the cheap thing only to have a cheap tasting meal at the end. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Every vanilla extract is not the same. I probably should have paid a little bit more money for this vanilla extract. You know, it's those kinds of things. It makes regrettable decisions. And here's what I'm saying in all of this. All I'm saying is this. Do not settle for easy change because the life you've always wanted is rooted in going for lasting change. You were created for a life that truly satisfies. And you were created for a life where you actually allow yourself the time to be transformed. There's a great book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And one of the things it says is this. Don't get sucked into the capitalistic marketing ploy. What looks like progression is often regression with an agenda. Others get rich. You get distracted and addicted. As Gandhi wisely said, there is more to life than increasing its speed. I'll give you another book if you want to read it. Read with caution, because if it challenges you like it challenged me, just be ready. The book is called 3 Mile an Hour God. 3 Mile an Hour God. Turns out that the average walking pace of a human is about 3 miles an hour. And the book makes the premise that God moves at the pace of 3 miles an hour. That if you want to experience God, you're going to have to slow down. You're going to have to not buy in to the faster, quicker, easier mindset. But if you're like me, I want to speed God up. Oh, come on, God. Like, you know, like, let's go. Let's go, God. Let's go. I'm here already, God. Why aren't you here? But if I really want to experience God, I need to walk at God's pace. Because at the 3 mile an hour pace, I'm transformed. But when I try to speed up what God wants to do, I'm being conformed. 3 mile an hour God. This is the path to abundant life. And why this is important is because of this. The third thing, the third trait of transformers is this. Conformers settle for a smaller story. But transformers live a greater story. You were created to live a greater story. We sung about it today. You were made for more, friend. You were made for more. You're made for more. You may have seen this before. This is a common understanding of how many movie arcs go, how many story arcs go. Joseph Campbell wrote a book about this called Hero of a Thousand Faces. It's the hero's journey. And here's what I believe. I know this to be true. All of us, every last one of us, the way that it works in your relationship with God, the way that it works if you haven't chosen a relationship with God, is that there is a call on the table. God is calling you. Remember what I said earlier, God has world-changing callings in this room. God has world-changing callings of people who are watching right now. You have a choice, though. Will you accept the calling and all that comes with it? Because that's the path of transformation. That's the path of a better story. Or will you reject the call? Choose conformation and live a lesser story. Think about the movies you love. Think about a movie that you could watch over and over again. Or think about a movie that moved your heart. In every one of those stories, there is a hero who is invited into a call for adventure. And they have a choice to make. Will they accept it or will they reject it? I'm going to give you a couple examples of this. My kids know it's required reading and watching in my house, The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. Like, I just love it. Love it. The Hobbit is us, man. We are like Bilbo Baggins. And I love that story for that reason. What do you have in The Hobbit? You have a timid hobbit who likes comfort. Can I get an amen, somebody? Anybody like that, right? Right? A timid hobbit who likes comfort, who Gandalf, the wizard, calls to a greater adventure. Come, help the dwarves regain their homeland by defeating the dragon Smaug, right? And Bilbo doesn't want to answer the call at first, but he steps into the adventure, and we see him grow in cleverness. We see him grow in courage. We see him being one of the reasons why the dwarves are able to defeat the dragon, get the Arkenstone, and restore their home. Why? What happens, though, if Bilbo doesn't accept that call? If he doesn't accept that call, his friends, the dwarves, do not restore their homeland, and chaos ensues. Bilbo accepted the call. He allowed himself to be transformed. That whole story is about him being transformed. And because of that, he lived a greater story. I'll give you another example. I love Moana. I love both Moanas. They're both awesome, awesome movies, right? What do you have in Moana? You have a character who is a daughter of a chief that doesn't want anybody to go into the sea. And yet, all in her is the calling to go into the sea. See the line where the sky meets the sea? It calls me, and no one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I'll know how far it goes. Like, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. What a great story. I did that because my daughter, that would make me so cool in my daughter's eyes. That's why I did that just now. No, but I love that movie. What happens if she doesn't accept the call to return Tafiti's heart to Tafiti? If she doesn't, then her island doesn't get rescued. She doesn't find higher identity and her people aren't saved. But because she answered the call, she got a second movie from Disney. That's a big deal. It's a big freaking deal, right? No, it's great. I love Moana. And I love when we see this happen in real life because these aren't just make-believe stories. This is real life. So one of the movies that is on my list, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to. It's my next one, is a movie called Unstoppable. Anybody seen that? Unstoppable? Man, I hear so many good things about this. Anthony Robles was a wrestler who was born without a right leg. but he decides to compete in collegiate wrestling, and he winds up becoming a Division I NCAA wrestling champion. What a story. You know what? I bet you a million people told him to choose a lesser story. He probably had parents who, because they loved him and didn't want his feelings to get hurt, say, you shouldn't do this. You only have one leg. He might have had physicians that said to him, you shouldn't do this. I'm sure there were coaches and other people who said, why am I going to spend time on you? You're limited. You can't do this. I'm so glad he didn't listen to those people and he chose to live a greater story. He's transformed, I'm sure, in the midst of his journey. I'm sure it has suffering. I'm sure it has difficulty, but it also has triumph. It also has triumph. And because he chose not to conform to what people said were his limitations, but to be transformed into a champion, millions are now inspired by his story. Friends, this is real life. This is real life. I'll give you one more. Gertrude Ederle. Anybody seen the movie Young Woman in the Sea? Oh my goodness, you need to watch this movie. Young Woman in the Sea. This was a woman who was determined to break a barrier. In the time that she was doing this, it was thought that a woman could not swim the entire English Channel. It had never been done by a woman. Not only does she swim the English Channel, she sets a record in swimming the English Channel and opens up the door for so many other women. I love when people step into the story. And there's something about these movies that move us. You know what it is? You know why those movies move you? You know why it wakes you up? Because you were created to live a greater story. You were not created for a settling story, a small story. You weren't made to be tending a grave. You've been called by name, born and raised back to life again. You were made for more. You were made for more. How do you live a greater story, though? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not one time, but as a practice. You know what we're doing with this digital reset? We're practicing. I'm talking about practice, man. That'll never get old. And if you know, you know, right? I'm talking about practice. It's an opportunity for us to practice in one area of our life the kind of spiritual principles that make us great in many other areas of our lives. How is your mind renewed? Paul talks about that over and over again, by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed when you tap into different power, when you do different things, and when you do it with different people. What we get to do over these 40 days is tap into the power of God's very Holy Spirit. When you fast, you're opening yourself and accessing the power of the Spirit of God to help you do something that you couldn't do on your own. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, the same Spirit, and that's the Spirit we're tapping into. And because we're tapping into that Spirit, we're going to do different things. We're going to reevaluate our relationship with our devices. We're going to do some things different than what we would normally do. And here's the thing. We're going to do it together. You don't have to do it alone, but we get to be a team in this. Here's what I want to promise you. I promise you this reset will renew your mind. I promise you it will renew your mind. And I promise you this reset will have profound spiritual benefits. You'll hear the voice of God in a way that you haven't before. You'll be able to understand how to be peaceful in the midst of the chaos and the distraction that we all live in all the time. You're gonna learn some things. You're gonna have different, and I believe better, relationships with the people closest to you if you step in and do this. So how do you step in? You commit. How do you do this? You commit. If you listen to this and say, this is interesting, you will not be transformed. If you leave here and don't make a decision to do this in a way that works for you, but to do something, you will not be transformed. There's a saying in recovery. It says, it works if you work it. This is only going to work if you work it. This is only going to work if you step in and do it. You know what? You commit. In a time where people are losing the ability to commit to anything, you choose to be a committer. Who's willing to be a committer? Who's willing to go against the cultural norm right now? The cultural norm right now is to not commit. Let me just give you some statistics on this. I'm hearing that millennials, the research says millennials, are choosing domestic partnerships over marriage. You know why? Because a domestic partnership is a contract you can get out of when things get tough. But marriage is a covenant that you commit to for life. And so people are committing less to marriages. There's decreased church attendance. There's actually decreased membership in anything. Here's one that really got under my goat. One of the principles I have as a parent and with my kids, if you try a sport and don't like it, you're gonna finish the season. You're not gonna quit mid-season. Well, more and more kids are having the permission to quit mid-season now. Man, that is not good for the character development of these kids. Locally, how about this? The Flying Pig Marathon, there are fewer people committing to run the marathon or the half marathon or the 10K or the 5K. Commitment is an issue. And you know what? It's happening around here at Crossroads too. It's harder and harder to get people to commit to volunteer, to go on trips that can be transformative, to go to camps, get off the grid, and connect with God and people in a different way. It is harder and harder to get people to do things around here. And we would like to reverse that trend. Would you like to reverse that trend? Would you like to be a church of committers? I believe we're better than that. Here's the thing. 17,000 of you to date have gone to crossroads.net/unplugged. You've checked out the website. You've maybe even considered signing up. Only 2,500 of you have signed up. 17,000 visited, 2,500 signed up. What do you say we close that gap right now? Right now, I want you to take out your phone. We're going to have a QR code that comes up on the screen, and we are going to commit. We're going to commit together. So I want to walk you through this. I want you to just go, get that up on your phone, and when you get there, you're going to see a place. I think we're going to show it right here. You'll see, it says, what is the digital reset? Kind of explains the dates. And then there's the button, sign up now. I want you to click that button. And then what I want you to do is put your name. Hopefully that part is easy. First name should be easy. Last name should also be very easy. Email should be easy. And then there's a box. And I'm gonna give you a couple minutes even now just to think about what do you wanna put in that box? What are you gonna specifically fast from? Because here's the thing. You wanna do what works for you, but make sure it's something that stretches you. Don't take the easy way out. Let me read to you what I put in that box. I said, my fast is I'm going to make my smartphone dumb. I'm going to limit TV to only what I watch with family or in community. I'm going to set personal and family goals around how much screen time we will redeem each week of the fast. And I'm going to use that Aro app that maybe you've heard about. That's what I'm going to do. So I want you to just think about that right now. Now, for some of you, you've had time. You've been thinking about this. Go ahead and fill it out. Hit commit. For others of you, maybe just put one thing. One thing you're going to commit to, and then you get time to figure the rest out. You got till Wednesday before this starts. Maybe you're brand new today, but you want to jump in. I love that. And maybe right now you're like, hey, I really need some time to think about this, but if you want to say you're in, I just want you in that, again, in that blank spot, just to put the words, I'm in. I'm in, and I want you to hit submit. Let's be committers. Let's do this together. We've got some tools to help you win. We've talked about those at the top of the service, but just as a reminder, we've got our app, the Crossroads app, that's going to be providing daily prayer prompts for you, opportunities to kind of guide you to connect with God in unique ways. And we've got the RO app. Costs money, but you can access it for free during this. And I'm really excited about coming on Monday nights and praying with you guys. Are you excited about that? I'm really excited to see what God does, man. We want to see change, transformation, not just at the personal level, but at the societal level. What an amazing opportunity we have to come together and to pray. Here's what awaits you on the other side as you're clicking those buttons and committing. Paul's final words in Romans is this. He says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I really believe this is one of those inflection moments. This is so countercultural. This is so different. And I think because of that, it's really special. You step into this, I think you're gonna be different on the other side. You step into this, I think you're gonna be better on the other side. I think you have some clarity that is desperately needed. I think you're gonna have some spiritual power that you don't have right now. I think you're gonna have joy. And so I just want to invite you to step in to this opportunity. Because doing this is you saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want you. I want you more than being distracted. I want you more than numbing out. I want you more than always being on. I want you more than instant gratification. And here's what I know. Jesus wants you. He wants to be with you in this. He wants to strengthen you in this. He wants to transform you in this. And I know this about Jesus. The Bible says if you seek him, you will find him. Because Jesus goes where he's wanted.
Time we'll get to be together in a gathering like this before we start. We'll be together next weekend. Kyle's going to be talking about what does it look like for us to Marie Kondo our digital life and really walk this out. But I just want, if you are committing to this, I'm committing to this, I just want you to put your hands out like this, and I just want to pray a blessing over you. This isn't going to be easy, but man, it's going to be so good. So God, I just want to bless my family, my brothers, my sisters, people who are here, people who are watching at home, watching online. I want to bless them as they step into this. This is so countercultural, God. And God, there's probably going to be between now and Wednesday something that causes them to say, maybe not. But God, can you meet us in that moment of doubt? With your strength. Maybe that will be for some of us the first of many times that we hear your gentle voice calling us to live a greater story. God, would you give us the strength to walk this out? Would you give us delight and joy in what we learn and what we find? Would you help us to find encouragement along the way? And God, would you do something in and through this digital fast that doesn't just change us for 40 days, but changes us for a lifetime? So God, we believe that you are good and that this is a gift from you. With open hands, we receive it. And we walk out of here confident and connected to you and to each other to walk this out in faith. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. We're in this together. We are in this together.